Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast. On the BS3 Network, I have a wonderful lifelong friend and co-host on the show. So let's get this thing started. And there's the man, Kay Fitz.
What's up, JJ? Man, we got a lot to cover today, don't we?
Oh, shoot, yeah. Man, we took little bit of a break for the holiday. Got all turkeyed out.
Yeah, had to get that turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, you know. You know how we roll.
That sounds like a country line dance.
Man, I'll tell you what. Real quick, before we kick everything off, I do want to take a moment and wish from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Chris Letang, a speedy recovery. Some sad news came out this last week that he's out indefinitely because he suffered a stroke. So I just want to take a moment and just, you know, ask anybody who's listening out there, whatever, to keep him in your thoughts and prayers and wish him a speedy recovery.
Oh, totally. That's right. Rough. And he's young, too.
Yeah, 35 years old. 35.
God, he's younger than me?
Yeah. Young in his career. And, you know, but it just goes to show you, you know, enjoy what you have today because you don't know if something might happen and take it away tomorrow.
Oh, no joke. Holy cow. I didn't even realize he was 35.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a good support system around him, I'm a Dallas Stars fan, but I'm, you know, Pittsburgh, of course, is one of those franchises out there. Of course, any Pittsburgh franchise, they're pretty close-knit. You know, I've got several of my friends that are Pittsburgh fans, and in all reality, but here's a shout-out to the Pittsburgh fans. You can go to any Pittsburgh Steelers game in any stadium, and you can almost see just as many, if not more, Pittsburgh fans as you can the home team. So I'm pretty sure they're out there supporting him and keeping him, you know, upbeat and helping him in his recovery.
And they won't even throw any stuff at you like they did Santa Claus looking at you, Eagles.
Yeah, let's not talk about the other Philadelphia team.
That's a show all its own, man.
Yeah. What a game last night. Man, we had everything in it except for the kitchen sink. We had a shutout. We had a hat trick. We had fights to steal a little thing from one of my favorite Ghostbusters. As you know, Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies from Winston Zeddemore. We got the tools. We got the talent. Yeah. So the Dallas Stars are really coming into their own, it seems like. They did an excellent job last night. Robertson got his hat trick. I did not get to watch the game, though. So, JJ, you got to watch it. Give me some input on how it was.
I mean, you know, I'm just going to tell you this flat out that Robo is going to take over. That's all there is to it.
22 points already. Can you believe it?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. Yes, I do believe it. Because, you know, he did his thing last year, 41. What was it, 41 goals or was it 41 points total? I don't even remember now.
I don't remember. Give me a second here and I'll see if I can't find that information.
I think it was 41 goals total. And, yeah, no, I believe it. Bottom line, to be 21 points in less than 40 games, though, that's wild to me.
It really is. So let's take a look here.
Yeah, what you got for me?
Can't pull up some stats here.
I'm glad you're doing that, because if I close this thing out to do that, it's going to freeze up and kill the recording.
Let's not do that. So let's pull up Mr. Robertson here.
Thank you so much. I mean, bottom line though, he's pulling up on Mike Modano status real quick.
Yeah, he sure is.
It's a little early to say he's the next Mike Modano man, but you gotta watch him. Bottom line.
So last year, it looks like he had 74 game points.
Okay, so
38 assists and 41 goals.
Okay, so it was 41 goals. Okay. Yeah. So he's halfway there.
He's halfway there already. Man, he's crushing it. He's crushing it this year.
I dare say he's going to have over 40 goals again, and it's going to be pretty dang quick.
He's leading. He's definitely, to steal your phrase, he's definitely no longer going to be a secret to the NHL.
No, no.
I mean, you know, and he's making some goals. You know, like I said, I didn't get to watch the game last night, but I did watch the highlights. And, man, I think it was his second goal. He was outside the oh, my God, why did my brain just lock up? The circle. but anyway, and man, he shot that. That was at least a good, 40 footer?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, sunk it in there. I mean, hit it right where it needed to go, straight into the net. Like I told you the last time we talked, it's a different energy, it seems like. Especially, it seems like the more goals he scores, the more energy when he gets on the ice. You can hear it in the crowd. You can hear, hear it in the players and see, just amazing, amazing, amazing player. And on that note, I'd also like to give a good shout out to our goalie, Mr. Ottinger. Man, another shout out. Great job last night. I think he had 31 shots shot at him last night.
Yeah, he saved all of them. Holy
moly. Saved all of them. 31 saves. That is amazing. You know, say what you will, but you know he's definitely really good. I love it when he's in the net. You know, it's definitely going to be a good game.
Oh yeah, and that's not to discount Scott Wedgwood. You know, he's held.
Oh no, no, not to discount Wedgwood. I'm just saying that he got the shutout last night, so that's who I'm going to sing the praise to.
Oh yeah, yeah. That we got a dangerous goalie tandem. That's for sure.
We do between Wedgwood and Ottinger. We've definitely got a heck of a tandem.
Yeah, buddy.
They sure are coming into their own, and it seems like they're doing the right thing. So I missed the fight, though. Tell me about this fight. You were kind of explaining it to me. But I want to hear it from your voice.
Oh man, it! I lost it. I absolutely lost it because, if memory serves me correctly, it stemmed from who was it? Wyatt Johnston getting hit, blindsided-ish. There we go. That's the word. And Ty Dellandrea just stepped up and said, "No, sir." And after that, man, Jamie Benn followed suit. I can't remember who it was on the Ducks, but man, that started a block party of fights.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of getting the 5-minute major and the 2-minute minors and all that involved in it, and all the penalties that came out of it. But I do like seeing these guys fighting for themselves and fighting for each other. It really goes to show you the kind of heart this team is starting to build and get. You know, there were a couple games a little earlier in the season where it just felt deflated, like, you know, they were just kind of going through the motions. But I'm telling you, just in reading the play-by-play last night and hearing you tell me what was going on and then watching the videos of their highlights, it really seemed like last night they were really impassioned. It just seemed like they were just hitting on all four cylinders last night and just getting it going.
Dude, they were. I haven't seen this. I'm going to steal a page out of your book. I haven't seen this kind of energy from the Stars since the 90s.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I don't want to say the Stanley Cup run so people get this earworm that I'm saying that they're going to go to the Stanley Cup, but you know, they did have that kind of energy. They're playing for each other. And, you know, that started against Tampa Bay a couple of years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, they said that even before that, when they learned, or when they took the fans out of the game, they learned to play for each other. Like, they were playing for empty arenas, fighting for each other. And that's exactly what they need to do now to get things going. Like,
I agree 100%.
Let's be real. Everybody on the Central Division improved over the free agency in some form or fashion. Now, the Stars, they had the little seed of doubt planted. Oh, it's Coach DeBar. You know, he's done this, this, and that. He's also done this, this, and that. He's everybody's sloppy seconds. You know, that's not the exact words, but you get the picture. Sometimes teams gravitate away from coaching because they don't believe it anymore.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I've never played a sport because of my situation, but I've been in marching band, and, you know, that's sort of the same concept. You have somebody that oversees the operation. If you believe in it, you're going to go do good things.
And, yeah. I mean, as someone who has played sports, I played, you know, high school football. Played for Coach Bobby Etheridge at Killeen High School, who we went on to win the state championship in 1991 here. And then going from Coach Bobby Etheridge, who moved on to bigger and better things after we won state, to Coach Bomar. Some of you might know his son, Rhett Bomar. He played for Oklahoma, had a little bit of trouble there for a while, came out, and I think he got drafted by the New York Giants for a little bit, but anyway. So going from one coach to another, and, you know, trying to keep that energy level. And like you said, sometimes you feel like, okay, we got this coach, maybe nobody's wanting him, sloppy seconds. So, you know, is he really going to do that much? Is he going to be that big of an impact on the team? I think the proof is in the pudding right now. It's really showing.
From the athlete's point of view, you do kind of see the coach and you know, see what he's brought to teams, and you can probably see, oh, wait a minute, is he really going to fit? Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
he seems like he fits this team like a glove. One thing I like is whenever they pan to him, he's never, you know, just standing there. You know, I hate it when I see a coach on the sideline that's not emotional, that is pretty much acting like, you know, it's another day at the office. He's very emotional. You can see it when he's talking to the players. I think the players are reacting to him in positive ways. You know, he gives the refs an earful when he feels like he needs to give the refs an earful, and it doesn't seem like he's shy from that at all. And I like seeing that. I like seeing that in a coach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing to add to that. Team leadership. You got Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. Who else? Who's the other alternate? Miro Heiskanen, you know?
Yeah, Miro Heiskanen. Uh-huh.
They're taking the team leadership, and they're doing something with it. When little, not little, he's quite the big guy. When young Wyatt Johnston got hit, Delandria was the first one to jump in, and then the captain followed suit, and then later on when the announcers were talking about it, they said, oh no, you don't mess with the little brother around here. And, you know, that got me to thinking two years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, man, they started to lean on each other, and they started to make a family out of it. What if that's the key right there? You don't mess with little brother so-and-so. Like, wow.
I've noticed in the last couple of games, it seems like Delandria is really stepping up to that role. He's had some pretty massive hits, you know. And it seems like he's trying to get into that role of, you know, being kind of an enforcer and a, you know, I've got your back kind of guy. And I love seeing that. You know, you don't have to be the best scorer on the team. It's fine having Robertson doing all the scoring and doing what he's doing, as long as, you know, you're keeping that team cohesive. And then you've got, like you said, players like Bean and the Landry, they're just stepping in as those roles where they're like, hey, I got your back, you got my back, and we're gonna do what we got to do to get this done.
It makes me wonder, why haven't they had that mentality all along? Like, if you got a C on your chest, you're automatically the big brother to me.
Of course.
Or the oldest brother. And then the A's, they're the, you know, the middle child, if you will.
And... you know, honestly, truly, I think, and this is just my thought process. I think when they went into that first Colorado Avalanche game and they lost against, you know, the Avs, and of course, as we know, they're rivals to us, and the way that they lost, I think that took them down a notch, and I think they maybe even needed that, because they were kind of riding a high going into that game. And I remember you and I talking, and we both said, you know, this is a game that's going to kind of, you know, show us where we are, where we need to go, and what we need to do. And, you know, they of course, you know, lost that game, and you know, have lost a couple others. But I think that game right there was kind of maybe the turning point for them, where they kind of said, okay, maybe we're not as big as our britches are. Maybe, you know, maybe we should, you know, take a step back and look and see what we need to do. In all reality, the one aspect that this team seriously needs to work on the most is if you get into those overtime situations, man, they've really got to be – I think we need to be a little bit more aggressive in those overtime situations. And, you know, don't give up the puck so easily in those breakaway situations, because, man, those are just hard to defend against. And, you know, but I think they're really picking it up, and it seems like the energy's starting to come back. And that's what I like to see, especially at this point in the season, you know?
Yes, sir. I mean, at this point in the season last year, you were just kind of like, oh, where are we going to be? You know, for lack of a better way of putting it, for the sake of keeping it clean for the listeners, you're just like, oh, boy, you know?
Yeah.
And this year, it does. It has a different energy. They have the same team chemistry as, in my eyes, the best teams in the league over the last few years. You know, they know their role, they have their role, and they lean on each other. And, you know, I kind of used that Colorado game as a measuring stick too, and I even told you, yeah, I think this is where they mess it up,
right?
Because I think they're afraid of that overtime.
They are, and you can almost sense it. You know, they get kind of a sense of urgency when it looks like it's coming to that point of, oh boy, you know, are we going to wind up being in an overtime situation, and what's going to happen? And yeah,
I sat there and watched that whole game, and I was like, okay, they're going to come back. Yep, they tied the game. And then I wondered, come overtime, seeing that puck slip away and then that easy goal, I was just like, they're starting to wonder why they came back. They're intimidated, and how you kill that intimidation is just come out firing. They did that against Anaheim, and you can look at the stats and say, oh, Anaheim's not that good, yada yada. It's a freaking loaded team.
Yeah.
That team is loaded from top to bottom. Everybody's talented. Shattenkirk is a Stanley Cup winning defenseman just off the top of my head. And, you know, he's playing for Anaheim. That's not a bad team.
No.
And to have that kind of win, you know, it starts for, like you said, urgency. If you start off like your butt's on fire in the very first period, man, you don't have to go to overtime.
This is true.
Like, I'm sure you know from your playing experience, you know, if you come out there like, oh, you want it, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And
definitely, certainly. I think another tip, you know, it's kind of like they say, you know, winning is infectious. Well, so is losing. And, you know, I think whenever you look and they start getting in these little skids where they start losing, especially when they start losing, like, in overtime and things of that nature, it kind of becomes like, oh boy, you know, here we go again, here we go again. And I think this team has done a really good job of trying to stay out of that. You know, if you look, you know, they're not hitting these big 3, 4, 5, 6 game losing skids, you know, like Anaheim. You know, I think they're now into almost a game skid they're in right now. So, you know, they kind of limit it to that, you know, 2-game loss. However, I think if you look at their losses, if you look at like the when they lost against Colorado, they also lost against Winnipeg. And I personally believe, number one, they were looking ahead at Colorado. So they were kind of probably more focused on that. And I mean, because that's kind of a back-to-back game. You know, you're going the 25th of November, you're playing Winnipeg, and then the 26th, you're playing Colorado. And that's kind of a daunting task, especially when that's your rival. Not to mention that, but they were also coming off of that massive comeback against Chicago. And I mean, I'm telling you, that right there was just – how many times did both of you say, well, there's the nail in the coffin in that game? You know,
I'm
so
usually the first one to say that, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, I do like the fact that they correct what needs be correcting. I think they just need to stop being so intimidated. I feel like, in a way, if you look at their losses, it's like they're intimidated. Especially by Anaheim. I mean, not by Anaheim, by Colorado, by the Avs. I don't know why, but it just seems like they're intimidated by them. They could just get through that, man. You know, hard to say where they might wind up. I'm like you. I don't like to sit there and tout about, oh, we're gonna win the Stanley Cup. I mean, nothing against your, you know, Dallas Cowboys. I know you're a Dallas Cowboys fan there, JJ, but it always seems every season, if the Cowboys are doing horrible, oh, their fan base is, oh, this is junk, blah, blah, blah. But the minute they start winning 1 or 2 games, we're going to the Super Bowl, boys. Like, no. I think it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken, and that one guy got that tattoo, you know, World Champions Dallas Cowboys 2016. And that's like a meme now. That tattoo is like a meme, and that you know, I never, you know, my team, which is doing horrible this year, I have no room to talk about the Cowboys because the Cowboys are doing real good. Awesome. Congratulations to them. While I'm not a fan of theirs, I am a fan of sports. And, you know, when a team is doing good, I'm not one of those that downs them. I might give you a little heartache, JJ, but that's just, you know, camaraderie between, you know, I'm a fan of the Houston Texans. You're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. We've got that interstate rivalry. I'm also a fan of the Tennessee Titans. So shout out to them. They're doing a really good job this year too. But I'm like you. I don't like putting my cart before the horse. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to the Stanley Cup, but if they can just work on these little bitty things, and I think one of them is that intimidation. Another is some of their puck control. You know, I did notice while I was following the play-by-play last night, 4 or 5 times where, you know, they lost the puck in an offensive zone or lost the puck in open ice. And it's like those are the little things that create bigger things for other teams. And especially, you know, Colorado, they're synonymous with taking advantage of things of that nature. So I think if they work on that and also work on, if you go to overtime, let's try to win a few of these. We haven't won a single one this year. If they could just get some of those little things ironed out, it's hard to say where this team could wind up. It really is. I'm almost certain they'll make the playoffs. I can almost with certainty say, well, we're going to definitely make the playoffs. And then once you hit that playoffs, it's any team. Any team can win at that point.
That's right. And, you know, from the sports writing mind that I have, if it helps you, put the standings up on your bulletin board.
Yeah.
Look at it. Say, okay, right now, I mean, I have them on my Facebook. I have it right there. You know, they're top 5 in the league. top three in the conference, and they're first in the Central. Put that on your bulletin board and remind yourself just who you are.
Exactly.
If you have to.
When you hit that ice, especially if you're on your home ice, man, make them know. Make them know you're in our house.
And that's right.
We're not going to let you disrespect us in our house.
That's right.
To come back to the whole sports thing, and as a player, I can tell you when we went on when Killeen High School went on that run on the, when they won the championship in 91, I was a freshman. So, of course, I wasn't on the varsity team or anything like that. But some of us got to, like, go with the team and you know, help out, you know, and do things and basically, like, you know, equipment people, you know, just to help out. Just to be part of the team and do that along the run as they went through the playoffs. And I can tell you, even though I wasn't playing on that team, I had a lot of friends of mine that were on that team. Shout out to my buddy Gerald Patterson. I still talk to him to this day. Chris Morgan, he's a freshman who was brought up to that team. He's a coach now. He's an offensive line coach in the NFL. But anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
These are really good friends of mine. But I can tell you, knowing them, we had towels that they would put up, and each week that they won a playoff game, I'm not sure who made the towels, but they would put these towels up, and it was just such a inspiring thing each week to see these what's the towel going to look like next week, and this, that, and another, and it was just really cool, and stuff like that can get into the psyche of a player, even a player playing in the NHL or the NFL. Or in, you know, the NBA or whatever. I know it's, you know, yeah, it's your job and you're making all this money and you're worried about the next contract, but you're still a player at heart. And I agree with you. Post something up. Let them know, hey, you guys are number one right now. You guys are doing this. You guys are doing that. This is, you know, these are the stats that y'all are at. And you know, keep this in mind. When you go out there, this is where you are. Don't take steps back. Steps forward. Just keep moving forward.
Yeah, man. And, you know, if you're the younger players and you're seeing that, you know, I can't imagine how that's got to feel. You know, you're looking at, like, what I keep going back to that fight. Jamie Benn and Delandria, what they did for Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah.
How do you think that felt for Wyatt?
Five.
Huh?
I wish I could have seen it live.
I'm sorry. I keep rubbing it in. It's not intentional. But, you know, imagine what he must have felt being the young guy in that fight and having the two veterans. It's weird for me to say that Delandria is now a vet. But for Wyatt Johnston, who's only 19, you know, looking at the big guys going, oh, wow, they came to my rescue.
And you know, it's like that little brother thing. You know, if you're the little brother and you're getting picked on, and your older brother's coming back you up, it puffs your chest out a little bit. It's like now you take pride. Not only, hey, these are my boys, these are my friends, these are my brothers. They're here to help me. They're here to take care of me. They're going to watch my back, and I'm going to watch their back now. You know, I mean, it like I said, it is infectious, and. Even, I hate to say it, I'm not a big read the play-by-play kind of guy. I prefer to watch the, but last night, I can't get over that I pay for ESPN Plus. You know, I pay for all these, of course I haven't got the Bailey's one yet because usually the games are on, you know, my cable. So, of course, last night, for whatever reason, they showed the NBA, which was nothing spectacular or exciting, and it was on all of them instead of, you know, just hey, show that on one and show. But I pay for the ESPN Plus, and all the games are available except for the Dallas. I could go to each game and watch each one of them, but when I clicked on Dallas, it told me that was region blocked, and I live in Texas. I was so frustrated.
That makes no sense.
Absolutely no sense.
ESPN, though, they've never liked hockey. Let's be real. Look at SportsCenter.
Yeah, no, they've never been the biggest fans of hockey or the NHL, which I don't understand. When you look at sports today, you know, truly, league for league, I prefer the NHL over all of them. I mean, I think the players have more respect. I think the players are more for the fans than any league out there. And this is coming from someone who I've been an NFL fan my whole since I can remember. Growing up, my dad was a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. We watched the Vikings every Sunday. And then as I got older, because I'm from Texas, I kind of, drifted towards the Houston Oilers because nothing against the Dallas Cowboys, but I've always been that underdog kind of guy. I've always went for the underdog teams, and then I started following, the Houston Oilers, and then that led me to following the Houston Rockets, and they're not that much. But I've been an NFL fan, like I said, since I've been a kid, and the NHL I started becoming a fan of the NHL in the late 80s to early 90s because my dad, we started watching a little bit of hockey and whatnot, and watching the Stars after they moved from Minnesota down here to Dallas. This is not a knock against your buddy there that likes to comment on your Facebook posts, but
Oh, knock him. I don't care.
yes, they did. Hey, and guess who they're playing next on the fourth? Minnesota.
Gonna give them that big ol' L
yeah,
subway looking.
was this Sunday, isn't it? Yeah, Sunday. So they'll be playing against them Sunday. So yeah, we'll be hope they give them the big L. But anyway,
With some tomatoes on the side.
so but. Yeah, you do see some players in the NFL that are great with fans and things of that nature, but for the most part, most of them are not. They're not as fan oriented as, in my opinion, as the NHL. I mean, how many videos out there show, NHL players just, going over and trading a game puck for something silly like a piece of candy or something like. I mean, and you just made that little kid's whole world, and I think the league is great for that, and yeah, so definitely, they should the NHL should get a little bit more respect, in my opinion.
And man, going back to that, by the way, if I can drop something, before I was on this network, I did my own little podcast. I had a two-time Stanley Cup winner on my podcast. His name is Brad Lukowich.
So there you go.
And yeah, I still might have his phone number, not saying nothing. But anyway, yeah, it's a sport of its own. It is an underdog sport, and you know me, I kind of have the underdog mentality anyway, so I'll follow the young players like Wyatt Johnston, Dellandrea. I love seeing them break the barrier of the Jamie Benns and the Tyler Sagans. Not, they're my favorite players as well,
Right.
but I gravitate towards the younger players because, I fight that daily battle myself. Okay. You gonna throw something at me, I'll fight it. I don't care. And, I think what they're missing going back, circling back to the show is for the overtime, how you kind of cancel that fear or alleviate that fear, whatever you want to say, is you realize that the name on the front of your sweater is what matters, not the name on the back.
Taking an old quote there from old Herb there, huh?
Yeah, why not? Let's circle it back, man.
You go. Well, and I have my own NHL hockey player story. So, good Lord, I'm going to date myself on this one. So I was in the airport, in Alabama, and we were traveling. I was with my I was in the Army Reserves at the time, and we were traveling. We were going for a change of command, and while we were waiting for our flight because there was a delay or something of that nature, I looked over and I kind of recognized somebody, but I didn't want to make a big to-do about it because I understand when somebody comes when these players, and this was during the off season and whatnot. And in fact, he was actually traveling back up to Canada. And anyway, finally, I just broke down and I was just like, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, I think you're an amazing player. And that, I kind of just left it at that. And he started talking to me and was asking me what we were doing. And I told him, you know, we were in the Army Reserves and we were going for a change of command and this, that, and another. And my First Sergeant Spicer, he was kind of a hockey fan. So he was like, he got in. But anyway, the player was Mario Lemieux.
Oh.
And he took pictures with all of us. He autographed anything that we wanted autographed. In fact, he offered it. Would y'all, you know, would y'all like an autograph, whatever y'all want, you want, would you like to take a picture and whatnot? And so, unfortunately, I lost my autographed. I had a, it was a napkin and my picture. Unfortunately, when first marriage wound up going under, I wound up losing a bunch of my memorabilia stuff. And that was some of it. But anyway, I still have the memory. And he was probably one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever got to see celebrity-wise. I've met several celebrities, and he was so down-to-earth and had no problem. He sat there, talked to those of us that were hockey fans, even talking to, you know, those that weren't hockey fans and kind of, you know, hey, what are you know, he had that Canadian kind of, hey, oh, you know, oh, don't you know, oh, you know, I can't believe you don't like hockey. You don't like hockey. So yeah, it was really cool. No, it was really, really cool, really down to earth. And, you know, that's something that kind of has stuck with me, you know. And you know, it's really nice to see somebody of his caliber being really humble, because he very well, the minute I even said anything, could have been, ah, you know, whatever, you know, another fan. But he engaged me once I told him that. He was like, yeah, what are y'all, you know, so what are y'all waiting? What, you know, where are y'all flying to? And what, you know, what, you got a whole group here. Where are y'all going? Oh, you know, we're all, you know, military, Army Reserves, and, you know, we're going for a change of command and this, that, and other. Oh, and then he just started talking, and he was really interested in, like, the, you know, deployments and where we've been and what we've done. And, you know, he at first he had kind of a hard time understanding the concept of reserve versus active duty. He was like, so you're in the Army, but you're part-time? And yeah, oh, okay. And, you know, once it all made sense. But it was, you know, it was a really, he kind of helped really pass the time for our flight to get there. I'll put it this way.
There it goes. See, it's kind of like a, dare I say, yeah, I'll reach for it. Why not? They treat you like they've known you forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very much a family feeling.
I,
I
you know,
say that too.
I've heard similar stories of like Mike Modano as well. I mean, I've heard a lot of similar stories of Mike Modano running into people in public places and whatnot. And, you know, and as great as he was, a friend of mine, James, actually ran into Wayne Gretzky, got a picture with him. He autographed. He had a puck with him, so he autographed a puck. In California, he was in California. He was in the Air Force at the time, stationed in California. He ran into Wayne Gretzky at a shop somewhere, and he just went up and was like, "Hey, Mr. Gretzky, I think you're awesome. You're great." And you know, that was that. And he said he had about a almost an hour conversation with him. And I'm like, "Wow, that's freaking amazing!" Got a, you know, personalized autograph puck. You know, he was like, he had it in his bag. He pulled it out, had an autographed the puck, gave it to him, took a picture with him. Of course, this was back in the old days when, you know, you had to get the film developed. Not these days where you got it on your phone and you can post it right away, you know? So when it all happened, he was like, "When I get this film developed, I'm gonna send you a copy of the picture. You're never gonna believe who I ran into." Because me and him both, we were big hockey fans. Both fans of the Stars, and you know, of course, when he was in California, he tried to follow the Stars as much as he could. But you know, of course, there was the LA Kings were the big team at the time. But anyway,
Are
so
you still there?
yeah, I'm still here.
Woo! That was a big breakup. I don't know if the listeners will be able to hear it. Wow.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
Technology.
Yeah,
But
for sure.
anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this next stretch that we're fixing to hit. I think we've got, what, four home games, and then we've got, what, four or five away games. So we've got, in the next stretch, we've got four home games and five away games.
Yeah, the announcer said that was the longest home stretch that we've had so far.
Yeah, it is. It is. And hey, just to throw this out there, for someone who's gone to many games, and I'm looking at the CBS, not to throw them out there, but anyway, I'm looking at the website here, looking at the schedule, and they've got ticket prices on here. Man, it amazes me, you know, how to see an NHL game, it's not going to break your bank. You know, for those of us, for those in the Dallas area or going to be traveling to the Dallas area, if you want to go catch a Stars game and the Stars are playing, yeah, I mean, $25. I mean, even as low, they've got seats starting at $14 for the Ottawa game. I mean, man.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, you could probably get some pretty decent seats for around 40 or 50, maybe $60. So, you know, I've bought tickets to, you know, concerts, NFL, and things of that nature. I don't think I've ever seen tickets that well priced, to be honest with you.
Well, for the American Airlines Center, you know, those tickets, the $14.15, they might be pretty up there, but you know, even in the highest spot in the arena, it's really not, there's not a bad seat in the house. I've been there.
I hadn't been to that one yet, but I have been to several arenas. Actually, I take that back. My wife and I did go there. I forgot. We did go to the American Airlines Center because we went and saw Bon Jovi. It was my wife's very first concert she's ever been to. And I took her and we went and saw Bon Jovi there. And you're right. There really is not, and I mean, we weren't all the way up in the nosebleeds. We were down in the mezzanine area, but still, you're right. There's not a bad seat in that. I mean, you don't have any blind spots. Like, there's some stadiums where if you're in that corner, you've got blind spots. But no, it seemed like it was, you know, all the way around. You had a really good view.
You could see old stadiums like the old Red Wings place. What was that? Joe Louis. You
yeah,
know, you hear, huh?
Joe Louis Arena?
Yeah. You know, there's places like that where you could sit up in the nosebleeds and just look at a pillar.
I've been to the Mecca. I've been to Madison Square Garden. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful place. And if you're a sports fan, if you've never been, you really need to go. You need to go see a sporting event. I don't care what sporting event. I went and saw wrestling there. Of course,
that's epic.
But yeah, even Madison Square Garden, it's got some spots where it's like, the seats are like really like close. You feel like you're like on top of each other. But the American Airlines Center really, I mean, and I think a lot of stadiums now are kind of going more towards this, you know, that type of experience. You got to think, you know, when Madison Square Garden was built, it was built as, you know, it's going to be this great sporting arena. They probably weren't thinking too much about comfort. They were just saying, let's see how many butts can we get in here, you know, and that's kind of how it worked. Whereas now, if you look at stadiums, if you look at AT&T Stadium there in Dallas, it, other than that obnoxious billboard, that, let me tell you, I've been to that stadium. I've watched. We went and saw the Cowboys play there. And when you're up high, because we're not made of money, so we can't get the lower seats because those are crazy price. But where we were sitting at, yeah, you can, the field is beautiful, and you can see the field, and you have no problem. The problem being is, man, I'm telling you, that screen is so distracting. It's like you can't help. It's like you almost have to force yourself to look at the field away from the screen because it's like there. It's so huge. It's so huge. It's cool, And don't get me wrong. I mean, if I had the money that, you know, Jerry Jones has, I would do it. So I can't knock him for it. But my goodness, it's cool. It's really cool. I, you know, and I've been to both their stadiums. I've been to AT&T and what was their old stadium? Texas Stadium up there?
Texas Stadium, yeah.
Texas Stadium was cool because even if you were in, like, the nosebleed section, they had TV monitors. So you could, like, still see the game where you were sitting at. And that was pretty cool. So, you know, I can honestly and truly say, you know, I've been to the Astrodome. I've been to the Alamo Dome. And I can tell you that the old Texas Stadium was probably one of my favorite places to go just because of that. Because, you know, the Astrodome, you didn't have that. You had the big screen that you could look at on the one side of the field, but I think it was the first dome stadium. So at the time, you know, when they built it, they didn't have all the comfort, creature comforts in mind. And, but yeah. I think the American Airlines Stadium is definitely a good venue to go see, or any of the stadiums up there and down are good venues to go see any kind of sport.
I would say it's probably top three as well, because I've been to the other two stadiums you mentioned as well. I've also been to see the Allen Americans, and that hockey atmosphere is all its own. You know, they play in a tiny little convention center. And, you know, that's one thing that draws me to hockey, too, is the atmosphere. You know, not only do you get the friendly players that, you know, my experience with hockey here was not only meeting them at an autograph signing, but I got to go to a game through a friend of mine that was the DJ at the time. And he sat me right on the glass, like right on the glass. And you saw the pictures a long time ago, actually right after it happened. And that was right on the glass. And, you know, we had a hockey player crash into the glass on the boards right in front of us.
Isn't it amazing how you can feel that? You don't even have to be touching the glass, and you can feel the impact. Isn't that cool?
That's crazy. And the sound the puck makes when it hits it, that big old clack.
Ooh. Yeah, clack.
Yeah. Scariest thing I've seen in a long time, puck going off that glass.
Listen, truly, I can almost associate it to like a shot being fired. You know, as somebody who's actually heard, you know, gunfire, and he heard the snap, and that's what it's like. It's like, bah! it's like a shot being. I mean, and I always laugh whenever you go to a game or to like a hockey game, and they talk about, and the souvenirs fly at up to 150 miles per hour, so please keep an eye out. And it's like, yeah, no doubt.
You're not trying to snatch that puck. You're trying to duck.
You're trying to duck, yeah. And if you're lucky enough to get it and not get knocked out by it, that's great.
See people getting towels on their foreheads and whatnot.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Thing.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I'm kind of thankful for the top-level seats in hockey for that very reason.
For that reason, yeah. For that reason alone, yeah, at least you're pretty much out of harm's way for the most part.
Yes, sir. Speaking of top-level hockey, let's do this. I'm going to throw this question at you because I have my own thoughts on it. What do you think the Stars have to do to keep playing that top-level hockey they're playing?
First of all, stay healthy. You know, they've got to stay healthy. The good thing is, like you said, we got a hell of a goalie tandem. So let's not try to overrun one over another. You know, when one needs a break, give them a break. You know, win or lose, you know, it's better to keep healthy than to keep someone out there who you know maybe hurting a little bit, may need a break or may need a rest. Keep the intensity going. You know, don't let yourself get into a lull, you know, where you get lethargic and you're just going through the motions. I think they had a couple games earlier in the season where it seemed like it was that way. You know, they weren't fighting for the puck as hard as they should be, and it just it seemed like they were just kind of going through the motions. And, you know, if they got a goal, great. And if they didn't, you know, it just kind of seemed to dwell on them. Keep that Chicago game in the back of your head. You know, don't, if you get down three or four goals, don't think, well, it's over. You know, you've done it before. You can do it again. So, you know, focus on each period, focus on each opportunity, and make the most of it. Be aggressive. I love the aggressive play. It seemed like, you know, me and you talked the last time when we talked, that was one thing that we brought up, that I think that they needed to be a little bit more aggressive, especially when they're in the opposite opponent zone, is be a little bit more aggressive, you know, take more shots. You know, it's frustrating when you're in the second, halfway through the second period, and they've only got like 8 shots on goal, and the other team is sitting there at dang near 15 or 17. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know? So, you know, try not to be cutesy. Don't lose the puck in open ice. And I think my final thing for them to keep this going is, you know, work on that overtime. If they can get that overtime, if they can get through over that hump of losing overtime games, I think that, you know, that's going to keep things going.
Right on. I'd like to throw this out there because I agree with your points. It goes back to what I said. Remember what's on the front of your sweater. That's what you're playing for. You know, it seems to me that they're afraid of overtime. You know, they, huh?
Yeah.
They get into that overtime period and they're just like, oh crap, what do we do now? Well, look at the front of your sweater. Who is that? What is that? That's you. And, you know, you're a member of the role you play on the team. And for the fans, the American Airlines Center is notorious for somebody like Chicago or Detroit or the bigger market teams filling up half the arena in Dallas. So it's a split arena. I'm calling on the fans. I'm asking you guys, fill up the arena a little bit more because y'all do have an impact on the game.
It does. It does. It's a whole different energy when you have, you know, the stands full versus partially empty stadium. It's a whole different energy.
When you realize that every person in that arena, like almost, well, yeah, every team in that, or every player in that arena, every person has a role in the outcome of that game. It doesn't have to be on the refs. You want to be part of that game? Raise your voice. You know, you're a player, check somebody. You know, all it takes is one thing to help the outcome of a game, and a lot of it does rest on the fans. I'll say that.
Yep. And, you know, to take away something from a coach that, you know, back in the day was, you know, from what I played football, was when you do something great, act like you've been there before. And if you watch last night when Robertson hit that third goal, he didn't flaunt it. You know, it was an exciting thing. He celebrated with his team. And he went right back to the bench and sat down. And that's what I like seeing. I not saying, you know, anything, but I love it when a player can sit there and just, you know, hey, this is what I do. And I've been here before. And I think that was his third hat trick. And I have a feeling that there's many more coming. You know, I have a feeling that there's many more coming. You know, he's for his age and his the way he handles himself, and, you know, it's infectious to the entire team, and you can see it. It's like when he's on the ice, it's a whole different energy, and when he's around, it's a whole different energy, and it's great.
Ooh. Okay, so it sounds to me like he's missing one of those pretty little letters on the front of his sweater. Prove me wrong.
Oh, you know, I was thinking of that exact thing the other night. You know, he at least deserves an A. He He at least deserves, assisting.
I agree, but who do you take it from?
I don't know. I don't know who you take that from, but and you know what? Maybe he doesn't want it. Maybe it has been offered. Maybe he just doesn't feel like that's his role. And if that is the case, then hey, more power to him. That just shows that he knows his role on the team. But I agree. I don't know who to take it from, but yeah.
That's another thing that gives me good vibes about this team. Like I've harped on before, everybody knows their role
Yeah.
and everybody plays their role. And, it doesn't seem like anybody values themselves over anybody else.
No, it really, like I said, the game last night, just reading the play-by-play and hearing you describe it and watching the highlight videos, it just seemed like they were so much more of a cohesive team. And instead of I'm here for myself, it was more like the Musketeers, one for, all for one and one for all type mentality. It just really seemed like, I got your back, and you've got my back. So it's like it's really kind of coming together. And I guess we're gonna find out a lot over this next, four game home streak, and then the five away game. If I can make a prediction how I think it's gonna wind up, I would say they probably maybe 3-1. I think maybe that
Ooh.
might be a little bit of a we'll see, but I think they can pull out. They could pull out all four games, but realistically, I see them on this home stretch going 3-1, and then the away, I'm gonna say 3-2.
Three and two.
There's a couple games in there that kind of might, they may overlook one for another.
I gotta say this too, while we're on the subject. Part of me wants to see them faced with a little bit of adversity just to see how they handle it. Because if they're truly playing how I feel like they're playing, which is what you just said, one for all for one, you throw hands, I'm gonna throw hands for you. That means they get it. And if they're playing against adversity, oh my goodness, then they will overcome that adversity. And that's something they really haven't had to do, which kind of scares me.
Well, if you look at that Chicago game, though, they really faced some adversity there, and I think they looked it straight in the eyes. But I think you're right. That was a single game. They haven't really, like I said, hit that where they're, three or four game skid. I hope that doesn't happen. So far, they've kind of been able to minimize it to two losses and then back to winning. That they keep that trend going, but you're right. And also, here's something else, and it's kind of really odd, is they seem to do better on the road than they do at home. So, I mean, honest and truly, it could wind up, being the opposite. It could be 1-3 at home and then go on the road and just go on a road streak and go, 4-1 or 5-0. It's kind of one of them. It's one of them. They're one of them weird teams where they're really good on the road. They're really, really good on the road as opposed to home. So it's going to be kind of an exciting stretch here. And I think when we come out of it and come back home against Edmonton on December 21st, I think we're going to know a lot about.
Yeah, and what when you hear about the halfway point of the season, it's usually referred to after January 1, even though that's really not it. But we should know in my mind where this team's going, by the end of this month. And I feel like it's a better team than what we've had in years, I will say that. And they taught me something that I will probably take with me throughout the rest of my life of watching sports. And that is, you don't need a whole bunch of big name players to win. You just have to have belief in yourself and each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I've learned with the Cowboys is, you know, they fiend for that big name player. They're chasing one now. The Stars, who do they have? They have Ben and Sagan.
Yeah.
If you can name somebody other than that, besides Ottinger and Pavelski, okay, those are the most obvious ones. If you can name any other big name player, quote unquote,
yeah,
go ahead and do it, because I won't see anything.
And as a fan, you know, I would throw somebody in there like Johnston. I think he's starting to finally come into his own. But you're right.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Isn't it exciting? Isn't it fun to watch him?
Dude, it is. Like I told you right off the bat, I was like, I like that kid.
Yeah, yeah, you did. You were kind of on the Johnston bandwagon from the get-go.
It was stuff that I read about him, too. I never saw him play. They don't televise the preseason games in Texas. By the way, thanks, cable people, NHL. You know, people are trying to tell me, write this for us, write that for us, do a podcast over this. I can't see it.
Yeah.
So I kind of go off of the big name sports writers, and I see Johnston. I see him one or two televised preseason games. I'm like, oh yeah. And I told you at that 9-game point where, you know, he could get sent back down to the Canadian leagues, he's gonna stay.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna stay. And like I said, he's starting to come into his own, and you kind of see it each game. And it's fun to watch. It's so fun to watch.
Seems like a humble kid too.
Yeah.
It really seems like a humble kid. Oh, it's my team and me. We're going to do this together.
And that's kind of what I was talking about. You know, this team really does. It has a very humble feel about it. Mm-hmm. You know, all the way down. I mean, from our captain to all the way down to our goalie. I mean, across the entire team. I mean, it just seems like they're all very, very humble. You know,
yeah,
you don't see them during interviews talking about, well, I, or well, it's always, well, we got to do this, and we're gonna pull this out, and we'll see what we can get going on this, and, you know, and that's what you really like to see. And one thing we haven't covered yet, as we're coming kind of to the close of this, man, them jerseys last night were something else, weren't they?
Oh. I want one so bad.
Man, I would have to get my hands on one of those. That's a great looking jersey. They need to wear that at home more often.
I did not
like the other night when they were in the whites. I did not like that. That's just your home. That's not what you wear at home. But last night, and hey, they lost that game when they were in the whites, didn't they? Maybe they should do that again.
Well, that was because they played Colorado in their reverse retros the other night.
That's true. That's true.
That's all it was. And it was, yeah, you know, I threw this out there. Maybe it was to you, but I think it might have been to some other friend as well. Why do you have the mint green ice cream jersey? Why not do what you did last night?
Okay, yeah.
You can have a modern look on the same old logo, or a modern look, modern twist to the what the fans know and love, man. That's money.
It is. It really is. Yeah, I agree. And as a fan, yeah, yeah, take my money. I really like that. I didn't get to see it live, but you had made mention of it before I'd watched any of the highlight videos. So when I watched the highlight videos, I wanted to make sure I took a look and saw it. Man, that looked, man, I was like, that's it. That's it. That takes me back.
And if you go back and look at the white version of it from last year with the star outline,
yeah,
bro, that takes you right back to the Stanley Cup.
It does. That's why I said it took me back. I had to remind us a little bit. And am I watching? Is it this year's team, or was this the Stanley Cup team? Oh no, it's this year's. Okay,
you guys in management, y'all did something so good to us.
Yeah.
I know maybe, well, maybe somebody might listen to it. Who knows? But if your management for the Stars or any marketing whatsoever, man, y'all need to bring that look back, but with the modern colors. That's fine.
Stick with that look with the oh, man, I'd love to see that look with the modern colors. Oh, that'd be – stick with that, definitely.
That's all they had to do was change the colors.
That's it.
Like, oh, my gosh. I was ready to throw away all my Star stuff. Not, oh, maybe not my jerseys. I kind of like the blackout one, too.
Yeah.
But that's the Stars that we missed, and – you got the talent just like you did back then on the ice to stand out. You had the look to stand out and the talent to stand out. You did. You won the Stanley Cup. And here it comes full circle. Okay, we've got the look that stands out above everybody else. You definitely got the talent. And you got people that are called a fluke, Mr. Jake Oettinger.
Yeah.
You're underestimated. But it's time for you in the locker room to shed that underdog moniker. Look at the thing on your chest. I can't say this enough. This is from a guy that's been through some crap on him, on his own. Remember who you are.
Yep.
No underdog here.
Stay focused on your goal and get it.
And they got the look that went from to whoa.
We're 14-6-4 right now. We'll see where we're going to be at after these next two stretches. The big home stretch and then the away stretch.
14-6-4?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they didn't do that good since a few years ago when Lindy Ruff was the coach.
Yeah. So that's why I said I personally think by the time we get to Edmonton on the 21st coming home, we're gonna know a lot about this team. We're gonna have that long home stretch, then we're gonna have that long away stretch, and I think there's gonna be some defining moments. This team's gonna have to it's gonna face some, like you were saying, need some adversity. I think you're gonna face some adversity during this. Hopefully, knock on wood, it's nothing too bad, nothing we can't recover from. But I think we're gonna have some eye opening events, and we're gonna really know a lot about this team by then.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Edmonton might be the test, dare I say, because...
That's why I said we're going to know, because they're going to be coming off of that long home stretch and that long away stretch, and they're going to be coming home, and they're going to be going against Edmonton, and I think that right there, that game is going to be a very defining moment, and, you know, I think we're going to know a lot.
You got Robertson versus McDavid, too, who are, by the way, the top two scorers in the league.
Yeah. Oh, where do you think Robertson will be by that time?
I think he's going to stay put. I think he's going to put some distance.
I think score-wise.
Score-wise?
How many goals do you think he'll have at that point?
How many games do we have till that point?
Till Edmonton, I think we've got 9 games.
I'll say he'll have right around 30 points by then.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I was going to say probably around 28, 29, but yeah, I could easily see him have 30, easily.
If he can score another hat trick or two by then, or before then, he'll have over 30. Like, the sky's the limit. And you got guys like Wyatt Johnston, man, young talent. You don't even know really who mixes very well. You're still learning at this point.
Yep.
If you can find somebody, huh?
Like I said, he seems like he's starting to come into his own.
This team's going to be scary. And we'll have to do another podcast if you have time against or after the Edmonton game, too. And a few in between, at least I hope, with you. Because, yeah, I agree with you. I think they're on the rise, and it's time they get rid of the underdog mentality.
Yep. I agree. So... it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for Sunday for them to play Minnesota and get this home stretch going, and then we'll get the away stretch going. We'll see where we're going, and maybe in between then, you and I can get back together and do some talking, and we'll see where we're at.
Yes, sir. Well, you ready to close this thing out, man?
Yes, sir. It has been fun. sitting here chatting with you and talking to Dallas Stars. Like I said the last time, I'm by no means an expert on them or anything like that. I'm just a fan, and I'm a passionate fan, and that's why I'm doing this, to help you out and just have some fun talking about the Stars.
Man, it has been fun. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank the listeners at BS3 Network and even the wonderful host and owner, not the host, I am the host, wonderful owner of the network for giving us a shot at this. Once again, Dwayne, thank you for your time, and go Stars.
Go Stars.
All right. Well, I will check you guys later. Thanks for listening.